What Bible book are we learning about this whole ABC Kids year? Matthew, excellent. And it's right up there on the slide, so that was kind of an easy one. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew. And we've gone chapter after chapter, lesson after lesson, night after night, week after week. And now we're getting to the end of chapter 21. Chapter 21. And Matthew has 28 chapters, so we're getting into the home stretch. All right, so we're going to be starting in chapter 21, verse 28. And there's going to be two parables. My study Bible calls one of them the parable of the two sons, and the other one is the parable of the tenants, or the stewards, or people who are in charge of farming the land. Okay? Anybody know what a parable is? Anna? It paints a picture in your mind, but it's also supposed to...
Put a story that's like
something related to heaven. You're on the right track. Anyone else? Rowan?
A heavenly story.
Is that what you said? I have terrible ears, by the way. You guys are all on the right track. It's a story Jesus says to teach us a lesson, okay? To teach people a lesson. Okay, there's a heavenly lesson to the story, okay? So to the first one tonight is chapter 21, verse 28, all the way through 32. And it's about the two sons. And I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go back to it, and I'm going to talk about it. And another thing I want to mention before we get started, the Bible has a lot of lessons that are about farming. You know why that is? Ian? Well, why is it about farming? Why are a lot of the lessons about farming? Do you know, Roman? Yes, we're the sheep and God's the shepherd. That's another farming example. But the reason is, girls and boys, is because farming was so prevalent back then. The percentage of people that were farmers back then is much higher than the percentage of people that are farmers today. So some of these farming lessons, sometimes we don't understand them as clearly because we're not so familiar with farming, okay? But back in Bible days, back in when the time when Jesus was here, everybody knew what farming was all about. Sometimes you had sheep, like Roman said, or sometimes you had a vineyard, which is where you grow grapes. That song we just sang, I am the vine, you are the branches, that's a farming illustration, okay? The vine runs and the grapes are branches that grow off the vine. Okay, so this first parable tonight is also farming related and has to do with a vineyard. A vineyard is where you're growing grapes. Okay, you have grapevines. Okay, listen up. Verse 28. Jesus is talking here. What do you think? A man had two sons and he went to the first son and he said, go and work in the vineyard today. So this is a landowner, a farmer, and he's telling his son to go work. And the son answered, verse 29, I will not go work. But afterward, he changed his mind and he went to work. Okay, so the first son says, no, I don't think so. And then he says, okay, I will. Now, verse 30, he went to the other son and said the same, go work in the vineyard today. And he said, okay, I'll go, sir. But he didn't really go. So, Jesus asks a question in verse 31, which of those two sons actually did the will of his father? The first son said, no, I don't think so. But then he changed his mind and went to work. The second son said, yeah, I'll go. I'll go work, sir. He even politely addressed him, but he didn't really go and do the work. So Jesus asks in verse 31, which of the two did the will of the father? What do you think, Andrew? The first one? Okay. Anybody else vote for the second one? Okay. Well, I would argue neither of them then, because they didn't do what they were supposed to do the first time they were told, but for the matter of this parable. The first one is the one who did the will of his father. He actually did the work, okay? Here's what Jesus says. Truly, I say to you, tax collectors and sinners go to the kingdom of heaven before you. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist, verse 32. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and sinners believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not go afterward and change your minds and believe him. This is a rebuke of the Pharisees and other Jewish religious leaders. Okay? The Jewish religious leaders at the time, the Pharisees, sometimes the Bible refers to them chief priests or scribes, they were supposed to be teaching God's word to people, to the people. Okay? But they didn't. So Jesus is rebuking them. So verse 28, go work in the vineyard where the grapes grow. The first son says no, but then he obeys. Okay? That's similar to lost sinners who repent. Okay? They repent, they turn from their sins and say, I better follow God and do what God's asking me to do. Okay? Verse 30, the second son says, I will go, sir. He shows outward respect and outward obedience, but he doesn't really do what he's asked to do. And this is a rebuke to the Pharisees. Okay? Jesus is rebuking the hypocritical Pharisees. Okay? The scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the rulers, the Bible has different words for them. And then when Jesus asks, which one did the Father's will? It's the first group. Okay? Because they eventually repented and said, boy, I said no at first, but I really should do what my Father asked me to do. Okay? And that's making an analogy to repentant sinners. We're walking down the wrong path, sinning, conking our brothers on the head, not listening to our parents, doing things we ought not to do, okay? But then when the Word of God comes into our lives, somebody tells us about Christ and tells us about the gospel, we repent and say, ooh, I shouldn't do that anymore. I should follow Christ and pattern my behavior after him. And that's what the first son did. At first he said no, but then he realized, I need to follow my Father, okay? And then it gets back to John the Baptist there in verse 32. John the Baptist was a true prophet with a true message. And Jesus is saying, you religious leaders rejected that message. Okay? But the common folks who you're supposed to be ministering to, tax collectors and other sorts of sinners that are mentioned there, they actually believed. And even when you notice it changed their lives and changed their hearts, and they began to demonstrate their love for God and others, and they began to bear spiritual fruit, you still rejected the truthful message of John. So that's what that first parable is about there, the parable of the two sons. Now let's move on to verse 33. Jesus says, hear another parable. There was a master of the house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press and built a tower and leased it out to tenants and went into another country. Verse 34, when the season for fruit grew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. Okay, so in this scenario, there's a person who is a master of the house, he's got some land, and he's got another vineyard. It's another farming parable. And he leaves. And he puts some people in charge. In my translation, it's called the tenants. You could call them stewards. You could call them people in charge of the land who are supposed to farm the land, okay? And when the owner puts people in charge of the land to farm the land, what does he expect? Does he expect the crops to go dry and the nothing to bear fruit? Or what does he expect from the farm? What does he expect from the people he puts in charge of his farm? Jordan? He expects them to do it, and what's going to grow? The crops are going to grow, right? Okay, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. So in this analogy, the master of the house, the owner of the vineyard, that's God. That's God, okay? And the tenants or the stewards or the people God put in charge of the vineyard, that's the Jewish religious leaders, okay? They were to lead Israel. They were to lead the people of Israel and teach them the scriptures, okay? And the servants that the master sends to collect the fruit, those are the prophets, okay? That can be an analogy to the Old Testament prophets, okay? People like Jeremiah, people like Hosea, Joel, and Amos, and Ezekiel. Prophets from the old days, Elijah and Elisha, okay? Now, verse 34, when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the farm to talk to the tenants, to the stewards, to get his fruit, okay? So the master expects the stewards of the farm who are working the farm to say, here's the fruit that we've grown, but here's what happens. Verse 35, the tenants, or the stewards, the people on the farm, they took the servants, and they beat one of them, they killed another one, and they stoned the third one. So the owner, the master, God in the analogy, sends the prophets to the people, to the country, and the religious leaders reject those servants, okay, those prophets, as it were, and they even kill some of them. Okay, verse 36, again, he sent some other servants, even more than the first, and again, they did the same to them. Okay, and finally, verse 37, listen up, boys and girls, listen up. Finally, the master sent his son. Okay, in our analogy here, if the owner of the land is God the Father and he sends his son, who's he sending? Jordan? Excellent, Jesus, excellent. Okay, so if you look at your Old Testament history, God sent prophet after prophet, Elijah, Elisha, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Ezekiel, Daniel. All those prophets came, Jeremiah, and they were rejected by the Jewish religious leaders of the day and by the people, I must say. Okay? Rejected, rejected, rejected. And lastly, he sends his son. And here's what the parable says about that. Okay? Verse 37, finally he sent his son. He said, they will surely respect my son. But when the tenants, or the stewards, or the people in charge of the farm, when they saw the son, they said to themselves, ooh, this is the son. This is the one who's going to inherit everything. Let's kill him so we can get his inheritance. Whew. Let's kill him so we can get his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Awful, isn't it? Awful. But that's what the Jewish religious leaders are going to do to Jesus. They're going to reject him. They're going to call for his crucifixion. Okay? And the people who are being incorrectly led by them are going to also turn on Jesus. Okay? And then Jesus says, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Okay? When the owner comes back, and these people in charge of the land, that the owner put in charge of the land, they killed the servants who were coming to get the fruit. They killed some more servants who were coming to get the fruit. And then last of all, they killed the owner's, the master's son. What do you think the master's going to do with those people he put in charge of the farm? In charge of the vineyard, I should say. What's the master going to do to those guys? Yes? Yes, exactly. Okay. There's going to be judgment involved. And this, once again, I hope you're understanding here, this is Jesus rebuking these Jewish religious leaders who failed at what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be preaching and teaching the scriptures to the people. They're supposed to have love for people. Okay? They're supposed to care about the people they're ministering to and teaching and preaching to. But they didn't. They thought that they were the story. They were so proud and puffed up. They thought everything was about them. And shame on them. Okay, so they said, yes, they will put those wretches to a miserable death, and then they'll give the vineyard to some other tenants who will take care of the farm or the vineyard and bring the fruits in their seasons. Okay? So Jesus is rebuking and rebuking means saying, you guys are getting this wrong. That's what rebuking means. You guys are getting this wrong. Jesus is rebuking the Jewish religious leaders who are in his audience, whether they be Pharisees or chief priests or scribes or whatever they are. Okay? And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is quoting Old Testament scripture, Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23. Jesus is saying, you guys, the Pharisees, who God put in charge, you religious leaders, God put you guys in charge. You have a special place. You have a special responsibility. You're supposed to be teaching and preaching the truth of God's word to these people. And you guys are not doing it. Okay? So God's going to get some other people to farm this land. Okay? And that's the responsibility that ABC Kids teachers have, and Sunday school teachers have, and pastors have, and guys like Mr. Dewberry have. When we get up and stand before an audience, whether it's boys and girls or adults or both, we have a very solemn responsibility to teach God's word as it is written. Okay? And not add things to it that aren't true. Okay? So that was Jesus rebuking those Pharisees. He was saying, you guys haven't been doing your job, and you're going to be relieved of your duties, okay? And he goes on, therefore I tell you, verse 43, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush them. That has to do with rejecting Jesus in this day, and then at the judgment when Jesus comes again. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was talking about them. Because he was. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. Okay, see, these religious leaders, instead of saying, wow, we've been messing up and getting this wrong. We haven't had our hearts in the right place. We're not teaching people the scriptures like we ought to be. Nope, their hearts hardened. And they said, we got to get rid of this Jesus person. He's threatening our position in the community. He's threatening our position as religious leaders. Quiet down now. Quiet down. Okay? So that's what these two parables are about mainly. They're about rebuking the Jewish religious leaders at the time who are rejecting Christ and trying so vainly and hard-heartedly to hold on to their position in society and their position within the religious structure of the Jewish people. Okay? So what did that have to do with us? Well, okay, where are you in terms of following Christ? Okay, do you believe Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins and was buried and rose again? Okay, if you'll believe that sincerely and truly and turn from your sins and say, I don't want to do those no more, I want to follow Christ, then you'll be saved and you'll be on your way to heaven. Okay, and that's the important message that we have every day at church here. When you come to this church every day, you'll probably hear that message. You know why? Because we love you and we don't want you to suffer judgment. We want you to go to heaven, okay? All right, you guys did really good. We're finishing up on time. Thanks for your time and attention. I failed to pray at the beginning, but let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed to our memory time. Good job, guys. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we can get together and study a portion of your word. Please bless each of these boys and girls and their families. Lord, please save souls and add to our church if it would be your will. Please forgive us of our sins. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.